What we're going to be doing now is adding more and more and more levels of realism to the analysis tools that you have. And one of the first levels of realism we're going to add is the idea of depreciation. What depreciation is supposed to be is looking at how an asset decays, gets used up, wears out, becomes obsolete, or loses value to its owner from natural causes. Effectively, we've had depreciation before. If you remember the example of the pumps, what we saw there was that you were purchasing an asset, using it for a period of years, and then at the end you were selling it for something less than what you originally purchased it for, the salvage value. Now that was a depreciation problem that was kind of hidden in there, but we do this all the time. What we're going to be doing with depreciation is giving you a way of allocating that reduction in the value of the asset in each single one of those time periods rather than having it suddenly show up at the end. And this method of allocating it, which is primarily going to be formulaic, is extremely valuable to us because it allows us to take some slightly different approaches to problems. The first thing that it does is it allows us to make some slightly better decisions about investments where we can stop if things don't turn out as we think they have. And this is associated with the matching principle in accounting. So what we're doing with the matching principle is we're trying to say, in order to achieve all of these benefits, what are all the costs, including the reductions in values of the asset? The best example I have of the matching principle in action was for a small nonprofit I was associated with that decided to run an auction. One of the things they did in make the auction work was buy a bunch of banners. Banners can last about 3 years or so. They used them to generate folks coming to the auction. And when they got to the end, banners can be quite expensive. By the way, they ended up with $1,500 worth of banners. They saw this $1,500 chunk of expenses and went, oh, this auction was terrible. We shouldn't have done it. Well, what I had to explain to them was that this $1,500 shouldn't be all allocated to a single year because we're going to receive benefits from those banners in the future. And they should allocate those costs over the 3 years. And once they had matched up those expenses with the benefits that they had generated, they thought it was a lot more reasonable, and they went on with the auction, which is now, I believe, its seventh year. So it allows you to go ahead and make some slightly better decisions when you start matching these costs with benefits. The other thing that depreciation allows you to do is ask some slightly different questions. We've had depreciation in the past. We've seen the reduction in the value of an asset, and we've been able to ask questions such as, well, how is this asset doing, this single investment? But what depreciation allows us to do is gather up our investments all at once and say, well, how are these things doing this month or this year? And so we can start taking a look at it in the time domain as, you know, having a month or a year as our unit of analysis rather than having as our unit of analysis the investment itself. That's a little change that's there. And then finally, eventually we're going to have taxes. And once you have taxes, you effectively have this other partner in the business who gets to specify how things are accounted for, and one of the things the government does specify is how you're going to account for depreciation when it goes ahead to take its cut. So let's talk a bit now about what actually you get to depreciate. What we must have here is property that must be used for business purposes to produce an income, which means that your private property does not depreciate. It has to be something that you actually use for business purposes. Virtually the only thing that you have to worry about that could depreciate if you're not in business is if you own a home and you turn it into a rental home, in which case the structure is going to be something that's going to depreciate. But if you're not in business, otherwise nothing is going to depreciate on you. Second thing is it must have a determinable life longer than a year. Now, there are certain important parts of that. First is the longer than the year that everyone goes ahead and focuses on. And that means things like tomatoes clearly don't depreciate. But the other key feature is it must have a determinable life. And there's some assets that do not have a determinable life. The biggest among them is going to be land. Land does not wear away. We will have an ability to do things like handle removal of oil, handle removal of gold. That's called depletion. But really, you can walk back and forth across land, and it doesn't wear away. There's still land that's going to be there underneath it. You can also have things like works of art. Those also don't have a determinable life. They are, in effect, timeless. And so those kinds of things are not going to depreciate. But in the end, we're talking about things that must decay, get used up, wear out, become obsolete, or you lose value to the owner from natural causes. And that gives you a lot of leeway in what it is that is supposed to depreciate. Decay is the first item that's there. You can talk about things like roofs. You can watch those kind of rot away on you, and that's an example of something that can depreciate. You can talk about things being used up or wearing out, and so you can think about some long-lived pieces of equipment. So any time that you've actually had something like if you've ever been on a backhoe that's got a little timer on it that shows you the run time, it's measuring how it's being used up and how it's wearing out. You can also have depreciation because items are becoming obsolete. So, for example, you might have an old computer that works perfectly well, but compared to the computers that you have right now, it's really not something you'd feel like using. And so it has become obsolete and is therefore depreciating. And the idea then is that as long as it's losing value to you, not because of anything sudden, but because of natural processes, it's something you're supposed to depreciate. Now, we have a few rules on what it is that you can depreciate. Rule number one is that almost all tangible property, which means things you can touch, can be depreciated. Other things can be depleted, and that's what happens when we talk about land. Say if you remove timber from them, or sand, or gold, or oil. And other things can be amortized, and usually that has to do with intellectual property. Other thing to remember is that land is almost never depreciated since it has no determinable useful life. And this includes preparation on land also. There are some exceptions to this, and this is one of the reasons why you do hire an accountant. The IRS puts out about a 60-page publication every single week on decisions that have been made about tax law and depreciation. And, you know, sometimes you can find some wacky stuff, like if the land prep has more than, you know, 60% sand or something like that, you can get it depreciated. But in general, you should know that you never depreciate land. Other things that are on the do not depreciate list are factory inventory, which means the bits and pieces that you use in order to produce your product, the equipment that you use to create capital equipment, and leased property. Now, the rule about equipment used to create capital equipment just makes it so you can't double count on your depreciation. So if you're in construction, you buy yourself a table saw, use it to construct somebody else's house, the table saw depreciates at the table saw rate. But if you buy the table saw and use it to create your own building, which is then going to depreciate, basically what happens is the table saw gets embedded inside the building and depreciates at the building rate. So it keeps you from double counting on depreciation. And then finally, leased property, you in general do not depreciate since it's not yours. The owner gets to depreciate it, although you may have some other kinds of arrangements that allows you to take the depreciation. And then the final warning that I'm going to give you is just make sure that you don't mix your business and your personal stuff. The IRS gets pretty pissed off if you have a habit of mixing these things, which is why if you use your car for business purposes, you keep the logbook in the car and you be very careful with it. It also means that if you have a home office, you are very careful about how you treat that home office. One of the things you can do in order to keep yourself safe is just once a month, take a picture of it to show that what's going on there is all business and you haven't stored any, you know, athletic equipment or something like that in there.